Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, February 14th, so it's Happy Valentine's Day to all of you out there. This is the Synergy Connection Show, and my returning guest today is Tess Dalka. And for those who didn't get a chance to listen to her on the last show with me, which occurred on January the 10th, Tess is a remarkable individual. She brings messages of love and encouragement to individuals and groups as she conveys the angels saying that universal truths are always here for us. She utilizes a combination of direct angelic channeling, astrology, and card illumination spreads. And Tess, again, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'd like to have you kind of talk about what the angels have been doing that relates to this whole concept of love, since it's Valentine's Day and everybody is probably either in a loving relationship or maybe wishes they were in a loving relationship. What do the angels have to say about that?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me here today. Happy Valentine's Day. I was just saying right before we started, I love love. That's been a huge draw for me my whole life, is to understand how to love and experience love in a way that really that makes us want to be alive and enjoy ourselves. So as far as what I've been working with the angels, as I said last time, I partner with the co-owner of Serenity Now, Brooke, and Brooke Anthony. And what we do is we come together with our individual abilities. She's a remarkable channeler and has tremendous knowing. And we utilize, again, each of us going kind of on our own space to do it. We each get our information, then come together, and it just so happens synchronistically to match up. And then the people that we work with, because we do sessions with people as well individually and together, they start to have the same kind of quote synchronistic information coming through. And it's a process which very much relates to what love is, that comes from within. And then it permeates and affects everything in the way that we see it and experience life. So as making that correlation, what we call love, which has been very abstract in some ways, we try to make it something, right? But nobody hasn't really explained it as much. But when we came together with the angels, that's what they were really starting with. They said, let's help you understand what love is. They said, go ahead.
Isn't love different in different circumstances? Because I'm really thinking like a child's love of his puppy is, you know, obviously he loves or she loves the puppy. And a mother's love of her child or a father's love of his child. And then the romantic love. And isn't it kind of like an ever-evolving thing that, you know, has a beginning and then continues to evolve through life? Because I look at older people that are in their 80s and 90s, and I know of a gentleman that is in his 90s whose wife died not that long ago, and he has found another person that he truly loves. He feels like a teenager again. So I mean, that love is there making him more or feel more whole, more connected, more like life is worth living. And so I'm just wondering, is the word love many different things?
So I loved what you said when you said more whole, more connected, like life is worth living. When you take those words, I feel like you just described love. So those words are not describing something outside of ourselves necessarily, because he could have found that beautiful, amazing woman and not received that experience if he would have thought he was unworthy, or that people will let him down, or that the shoe's going to drop.
Uh-huh.
So love is not something that you can ever get or experience externally.
Uh-huh.
You can have and allow it and experience it inside of yourself, and then in your perception of your external experience, you will have the ability to then have a different kind of interaction with that experience. So again, I'm going to go into how that works. If you are looking at a puppy, or a person that you're really feeling very inspired to connect with, how you feel about yourself inside is going to determine how you experience that connection. So when we are looking at love with the angels, they're saying develop a sense of what love is inside, and then you will be able to go into the connections with others and have a whole different experience. I don't think that that's making as much sense.
Well, when people are, I'm kind of chuckling because all the kids at school right now are exchanging Valentine's Day cards, right?
Right.
And some of them are silly and some of them are kind of mushy, but, you know, they take very, you know, like a long time to consider who do I want to give this one to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always that little crush that one of the kids has on somebody else, and you know, you hope you get a Valentine from that person. So there's, you know, even childlike love that they have for one another, and you hear the word love tossed around very lightly, and so I'm not sure sometimes that people do understand the depth of which love can be.
And that's where I said, I don't know if I'm making sense, because honestly, when I try to convey it in any terminology that I've ever heard, it doesn't make as much sense.
Right.
Because it's not in my mind, and we'll just go ahead and lay the cards on the table since I use cards. We don't work with it from the same perspective as has been in society. So let me go ahead and tell you how we work with it.
Because it's not really romantic love.
It's not romantic. It's not outside of you.
Right. It's within.
It's within you, and you're within it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they say love is the angels. And when I say angels, I'm speaking of energetic beings that are creative like ourselves. And as you know, they say that we're all one big family, right? So we are all already connected. We're all already within something that is there for us and taking care of us. You know, last time we talked about how, you know, when you're on the earth, it doesn't mean you're not also in the universe.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that the universe, what makes up the universe, isn't inside of each of us. And we've talked about the stardust and how we're made up of stardust. And and what makes up a table makes up a person.
Right.
So infinite potential that's always here for us is what the angels call love. And I make the analogy Adam, A-T-O-M, and Adam, A-D-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
What is our original source of conception into an individual experience is what we define as feeling, love, beauty, truth. It's that thing that only the only thing that we can actually resonate as is that infinite potential that's always here for us. And they gave us this kind of concept of it in order to allow it to stop being outside. So when we look at it, we definitely love to interact with others and to have that is what allows us to be an individual, is to have somebody who is not us. But when we don't remember that we are all coming from this essence, that we don't have to get from somebody and we don't have to give to them, once we recognize that, there's a different way of experiencing the love. And this is the best way I can explain it. I use this analogy all the time. Ice cream. And if you go to an ice cream store and you're looking inside of an ice cream store and you're thinking, "Ooh, I wonder what kind I'm going to get." Then you think about how you're going to go in, you're going to get some ice cream, or you're in there and you're choosing which ice cream you want. It's a different experience than if you're looking in the window and you're going, "Oh, I wonder if I'm going to get fat if I eat that," or, you know, everyone judges me, or, "Oh, I shouldn't have that because I don't really have the money," or, you know, "What about other people who don't have that?" You mm-hmm. see how there's the same experience, two different things. So the person that you love in a romantic relationship, the child that you love, the puppy that you love, all of those things are going to be affected by how you're perceiving what love is. And, okay, go ahead.
So let's kind of go down a road that we talked about a little bit last week with Dr. Nelson. So love can be very destructive for some individuals, and one of the examples that she gave
love in the way we're talking about, mm-hmm. it doesn't have the ability to be destructive.
Okay.
In the sense that we've thought of destructive, it's very destructive in the sense of it allows you to always grow into something new, an okay. infinite potential that's always there for you.
Right.
It's when people don't think that it's there for them, they don't think that they already have it, that they become destructive.
Right. Does and that go, that goes back to what you and I talked about on the first go-round show, was Freud's concept of the ego.
Yes.
And the lack, the position that if I don't have this and I want it, I will take it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that then for somebody who has the perception that they don't have something that they love or want, that they might actually, you know, decide to take it. And that would be so totally against angelic love.
Yes. And if you remember last time when we talked about it, we made the analogy, the two different ways of looking at it, the ego, the super mm-hmm, ego, mm-hmm. was coming from the infinite potential that could be lacking.
Right.
Right. Because physics has already said the atom can be all sorts of things.
Right.
You know, and they're even going, and there's smaller parts that can be even more all sorts of things. The quarks.
Yeah.
Those little quarks. So when you're looking at this, that modality, that was coming from when people were saying there could be lack. Right.
Mm-hmm,
and Freud
mm-hmm.
was figuring out how to look at our natural instincts. Well, with what the angels were doing is they were taking that and they're saying, well, look at it as the infinite potential that's always here for us. And look at it as then from that place, the engaged mind, what are you focusing on? And then from that place, look at it as the multidimensional mind, which is knowing that there are multidimensional, multi-possibilities of experience you can have. And every time you apply that in a relationship, you will have a different relationship. So you're sitting there and you're talking to somebody and you're saying, okay, this person always, quote, says this to me and it always upsets me, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you come from the id, like you said, you might feel like I should be treated differently because in the id, you still know the same thing you do in the IP. You still know that something tells you we have the right to have a great life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they tell us, just think of it, the infinite potential that's always here for us as innate worth, infinite potential, eternal perfection. Wherever you're at is where you're at, but that does not mean, that doesn't define you as limited. Right. It just
right.
defines you as, okay, a baby's crawling. That doesn't mean they're not going to ever walk.
Right.
Right. So we're looking at how to interact with people, knowing that it's not the id, that it's infinite potential that could always be against us.
Mm-hmm.
It's that it's there for us. So then I look at someone and I say, this person, I've had this interaction with them over and over. They come in, they criticize me. You know, I get upset with them and it just goes back and forth. And then I go, well, okay, let me think of love. And love has nothing to do with whether you like somebody. It has nothing to do with whether you want to hang out with that person. You could never want to see that person again. And you can love them. But
mm-hmm.
you're not loving. And this is, redefining this changed my whole life. Because I had already sensed that there was something off when I felt like I loved someone. I felt like I had to be there for them and stay with them, and I would go through horrific relationship energies because I would be trying to do something that just wasn't right for either of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Trying to make it work. So when you look at love as its infinite potential that's always here for each of us individually, so I'm not the one who's giving it to you. I'm not taking it from you. I'm interacting with you, engaging in an experience, and whatever I'm focusing on with you, I'm getting to enjoy. Now, if I keep experiencing somebody as unpleasant, I have two choices. I cannot be around them anymore with love. Or I can say, well, let me try going to the multidimensional mind. Let me try going to the possibility of, why not just think that I don't have to have that same interaction? Why not understand that I don't have to keep having them reflect the same thing that's been bothering me? So then I go up and I say, okay, hey, how you doing? They say the same thing, and I go, whoop, see, there it is. And I go, oh yeah, that's right, because I've always been thinking that that's what they're going to do. What if I think they're going to do something different? Groundhog Day, if you've ever seen that. That was wonderful with Bill Murray. It was hilarious. And he, you know, and they do this again and again. It's the, I call it the ghost loop. It's where somebody is being born, reborn, and reborn, and reborn, even though they don't die, in other words. And they have to figure out what it is that they're missing inside of themselves. And so when you're in a relationship and you keep having that same loop, you just figure out, what is it that they're reflecting? Well, I talk to them, we're going to use the same example, and I come up and they criticize me. Oh, well, when they criticize me, what happens? Well, I feel like, you know, everybody's always against me. Why wouldn't they be nicer to me? Oh, I'm feeling like people are against me. Well, I don't have to feel like people are against me. Why not think this person and I are just interacting this way because somehow we got in this? I just won't be in that place anymore. So instead of trying to defend myself or getting upset, I just go, really? I don't really think of myself that way. And because I really start to feel different, I start to go, why not love myself? I don't have to get it from him. Innate worth. I don't have to get my worth from you. Infinite potential. I can be anything. Why can't I be somebody who really appreciates themselves? So I start thinking differently about myself. And then every time I've worked with somebody, and including myself, and I have shifted my thought, not about like how I'm going to deal with them, but about myself, I've had a different experience with them. That's why I was telling you earlier, when I look at boundaries, you can set a boundary, and you know, the minute you turn your back, either you or the other person are walking over it and just completely forgetting it. But if you change how you interact inside of yourself, using infinite potential that's always here for us, you know, choosing what you engage as a thought process, and going to the multidimensional mind saying, hey, why not open to a whole different thing?
I'm kind of thinking about movies, you know, that people go and see the same movie over and over again. But for me, if I've seen a movie more than once, the second time I see it, I see things in it that I didn't see the first time. And if I see it a third time, I see things that I didn't see the first and the second time. And so it's maybe where you put your focus too.
Yes.
So if you leave the focus on something you didn't like, then you miss all the things you do like.
Yes. And actually, we have a little... they do a lot of ways that we can interact with this, because it's literally learning. Like, if you've always been using your right hand, it's learning how to use your left hand.
Left hand, yeah.
Yeah, and you have to remind yourself, I'm not going to use my right hand. I'm not going to go, oh, see, they did this, so that must be that this is what they do to me. You know, it stops being that. It's, oh, I keep having this interaction. There's no reason I need to ever not feel love and wonderful inside of myself. Even if I've done something that I say I never want to do this again.
Right.
The non-judgment of myself and the loving of myself, meaning I'm infinite potential that can always have something beautiful for me.
Right.
And with others is what changes it. So that's the constant refocusing. And when you do this, one of the like I said, the little kind of tricks that they give is... you look at the person, and that's why they say we're all angelic beings, we're all one family. You look at them as a huge angelic being, and that you've been focusing on one little part.
Right.
Now,
did you ever play with a kaleidoscope?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, you know, I like to use those kind of visuals, but if you never shifted the kaleidoscope and you only looked at it holding it in a stationary pattern.
Right.
Then you're going to miss all the beautiful positions that it can fall into.
Oh, you're wonderful. Yeah.
So that kaleidoscope that we are, the infinite potential to me is that we are all of those beautiful colors. And if we only see ourselves as one pattern, then we miss it.
Yeah,
we miss it. But as soon as we shift the kaleidoscope a little bit, it's like, wow, we have a whole new picture.
There's so much, and that's what the go into the multidimensional mind, and that's how they related it. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the id and the ip are, you know, the same kind of thing, but one is seen us as infinite potential that's always here for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the engaged mind and the ego
mm-hmm.
are similar, except the engaged mind is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, we're not defined by our ego and trying to struggle against it. We are choosing what to engage in.
Right.
And the other thing they say is, think of I appreciate what I appreciate, because appreciate means grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only going to grow what I enjoy. Why would I sit there and focus? And it's very common. I have to stop myself too. I'm used to using my right hand. You know, I will go, oh God, this, I hate it when this happens. And I'm like, well, why would it have to keep happening?
Right.
Unless I keep thinking it. And everybody has seen in everyone else, which is wonderful, that when that person is talking about their life, you see their life, the way they think it's going to happen, happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so one person will be like, I eat, you know, one cookie and I gain weight. And they eat one cookie and they gain weight. They say, you know, I go in for job interviews and the people, always are late, you know, and the people are always late. And so everyone's going, you see. And it's like, yes, you're connecting through your thoughts. That's
mm-hmm.
what I see. And
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to be upset with yourself or judge yourself about that. But you do get to go, well, why would I keep thinking this? If this is connecting me in, if I do think every time he comes home, he's going to turn on the TV. If I think that, well, I'm connecting to the energetics of it.
Right. There's something research-wise that's kind of interesting on a subtle level, and it's the neural pathways that we have with each other. And so, you know, it's like walking down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you walk down the path, the more trodden it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it eventually will become a rut.
Yes.
And then getting out of the rut makes it a lot more difficult because before it was just a gentle path.
Yes.
So, it, you know, recognizing how we sabotage ourselves.
Well, and let's be kind to ourselves. You know, we are doing the best we can
mm-hmm.
with the information that we've had.
Right.
And as a society, we're growing brilliantly. I love millennials, by the way. I really do, because, you know, each generation brings in something new.
Something new.
They have that kind of sense of, hey, don't define me by one
mm-hmm.
thing. Let me, and don't tell me I have to do it this way. Let
mm-hmm.
me find my own way. And, you know, opening up that is so wonderful. And one of the things I noticed is, and they kind of bring things to my attention through the channeling, you know, energy a lot, like where I'm just kind of all of a sudden things pop in my head. And they were saying, you notice that children don't grow old.
Mm-hmm.
They just get older.
Uh-huh.
So children change,
uh-huh.
but they don't get old in
right.
the sense that we think of it.
Right.
And what they were saying is that the newness, and you notice the people who stay very interested in trying new things and enjoying themselves and love themselves,
uh-huh.
right? Infinite potential that's always here for us, themselves.
Uh-huh.
When they do that, they have a much more youthfulness to them, a stronger youthfulness to them.
Right.
So... even though we say, oh, it's a biological thing, again, why be stuck in the biology, quote, biology? We've already understood that our bodies are made of everything that
uh-huh.
the universe is made of, and the universe can be a lot of different things. So just because our bodies have always had, and we talked about this earlier, a process of aging and death, I don't even believe that that is a necessity. I don't think it's a problem if we do it that way,
mm-hmm.
but we're just not seeing. I think of it more as it's a stage, like the phoenix, the bird, the phoenix,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right?
Out of the ashes.
Yeah, when you see the bird, the phoenix get older and die, and if you walked out of the room, you'd be like, well, that was the end of the story.
Right.
But if you stay and wait, you see that it comes back, and it's still that bird.
Right.
So, you know, I don't ever give up on us. I think we just keep going.
You know, there's, I don't know whether it's a true story or not, but I've seen it a couple of different places about how eagles reach a point where they have to, their beaks continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certain things that they have to do with their talons and with their beaks and with their feathers that reframe them, you know, out of an older eagle becoming a younger eagle again. And that it is a process. So I don't know.
That's exciting.
So I think there are animals.
And the immortal jellyfish.
The
immortal jellyfish becomes a polyp again.
Yep. And a starfish can create a whole new starfish from one little egg. So there's quite a bit that we don't understand as humans that animals are already doing.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a tremendous amount of infinite potential. and right. as our minds shift, And a lot of what they do goes along the lines you were talking about, the neuropathways, the associative learning.
Mm-hmm.
The people who've really been drawn to our work the strongest are like you. They have backgrounds in counseling, psychology, psychiatry, you know, and because it is about studying how we think.
Right.
And so they consistently work with us to reassociate how we're looking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about this, sometimes it's challenging for me to relate what I'm talking about to what people have been doing. Cause I'm like, well, you're doing it with your right hand, so I can't even tell you about that. You gotta put it in the left hand and then we can talk.
Right.
And that's what they said. They said, once we learn love, what that means, then we can learn how to look at the world. So we spent like 4 years learning what love was, because it was never defined, and it's the best definition I have is infinite potential. It's always here for us. Mm-hmm. That's what they gave me, or innate worth, infinite potential, eternal perfection, or love, feeling, truth, beauty. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that they use. As far as anything else, that's our individualized experience of ourselves, which is thought.
Okay, so from a biblical standpoint,
mm-hmm.
because we talk about angels as being part of the Bible, but I would say that the translation maybe of the Bible is more from man's perspective, maybe not angelic. And so, you know, the concept of love as it is given in the Bible, which, you know, is more of sacrificial.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be an angelic interpretation.
Well, and what they've done is a lot of times they have brought... I love all religions, have never specifically studied one religion,
mm-hmm.
But they would bring in passages from the Bible, either through Brooke or for myself. They would just tell me to go look up something, you know, and... when you look at it from infinite potential, you can see it differently.
Right.
The most beautiful thing that they showed is that truth can never not be there.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone is lying, it doesn't mean the truth doesn't exist.
Right.
Right? But when you are in the truth, there is no lie. So, and they even use the mathematical equation, because when they did this, I was driving down the street, and then all of a sudden they're like, the truth can never not be there. And I'm like, oh, wait, oh, you're right. You're kidding. And so love can never not be there, which is
right.
So good.
Right.
But they said, yeah, and they gave me the mind thought of plus, which if you look, it looks like a T, truth,
mm-hmm.
times truth,
mm-hmm.
equals truth. So
mm-hmm.
when you're in truth, you're in truth. But
mm-hmm.
if you negate the truth, truth times a minus, a negative, it equals the experience
mm-hmm.
of the not truth,
mm-hmm.
which would be like the id.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're experiencing the not truth. But if you don't believe in that, if you take the negative, right, and you times it by another negative, you erase the thought. You say, no, I'm not going to believe in that.
Right, right.
You're back to the positive.
Right.
Because a negative times a negative is a positive. So now you're back to truth. And in all of those, truth is present.
And in a way, you know, as we're looking at something like Valentine's Day, I sort of look at the Nobel Peace Prize people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they did, personally. It's just they were able to take totally negative situations, whatever they were in, and negate it by saying, no, I'm not going to live there.
Wow, that's great.
And, you know, once they made that decision, they didn't. Mm-hmm. And then truth came out of that into a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes, that is like, you know, we say it gives me chills. What you just said is so beautiful. And you see how it resonates.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels right.
Right.
And people will say, and this was one of my biggest challenges when I first started with this, because I never want anyone to feel any sense of, it doesn't make any sense to have any judgment on yourself.
Right.
Or others, like, oh, you're saying I created my abusive relationship. No, I'm saying that you have an infinite potential that's always here for you. How you think about yourself is how you're going to experience that infinite potential. So if you think you're not worthy, mm-hmm. you're going to have that reflection. Now, if it's to the point that that person is abusive, like truly abusive, then you probably would want to leave that situation and build your belief in yourself, right?
Right.
You know, and that's the negating. I don't deserve this. But you have to say first inside of yourself, I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you deserve it, you will stay.
Right.
That's not a judgment. It's an understanding that our thoughts connect us. Our thoughts about the love that's always here for us.
Right.
Connect
us
to something. So
we, in essence, then connect ourselves to people who reflect our belief system.
Well, and in what happens is, even if, and this is what's wonderful, how you know how you'll have two different people have a totally different experience of the same person.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that it's that person, in which this is so empowering to hear this. It's not that you're connecting to a person who is that person. Mm-hmm. You're connecting to that reflection from that person.
Right.
So it could be that, you know, one woman thinks that all men are pigs, and one woman thinks that all men are really respectful and honorable. They meet the same guy. The one woman's like, see, there's another oinker. And the other one's like, what? He opened the door for me.
Right.
Right?
That's very,
so,
very true.
So this is where it becomes very empowering, uh-huh. is that you say, not only one, it has to change within me. And it's not because it's on me. It's because I have that much power. Uh-huh. And I get to do that. And nobody's judging it. That's why the angels are like, we don't stop you because you're not doing anything wrong. You're figuring yourself out.
Right. In the same way the baby figured out how to move from crawling to walking.
Yes. So. Yes. And since you all are infinite potential beings and you all are angels and you all are larger than you realize, what you are thinking is harming you may hurt, but as you connect to the truth, the love of uh-huh. who you are, uh-huh. you won't feel harmed. That's why I was telling you, I used to say healing arts, and I don't even use the word healing arts anymore.
Right. Interesting stuff here. Because, I mean, I'm also thinking another of analogy of when you're learning to ride a bicycle. You know, you put the helmet on them so they don't hurt their head, and you might put pads on them too,
yes.
you know, and you take the training wheels off and you give them this little shove.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a way, the angels kind of do that.
They
kind of give us this little shove and say, you can do this.
Yes.
You can go out there and be.
Yes. And through all, well, not all cultures, I don't know because I haven't studied all cultures, but from what I quote, I've heard, most cultures have some form of angelic goddess beings
mm-hmm.
that come in and tell them, you know, hey, you know, you can be more for yourself.
Right.
And we may interpret it differently and think that they're judging us, but
right.
and put our own thoughts on them. But yeah, they usually do.
I want to skip to one thing, given the amount of time we have left, because I know that you want to at least visit this one. And so many people believe that they have met their soulmates
mm-hmm.
or they have met their twin flames. And I know I have done a couple of retreats and workshops where, you know, I've talked about that. One of the things that I learned, and maybe this is true and maybe it isn't, but in my own research, because that's the only way I was learning about it, is that a soulmate quite often will be the person that will actually introduce you to your twin flame. Now, I don't know whether that's true or whether soulmates and twin flames are identical. But maybe you want to talk to that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it's been a really fascinating subject. I was drawn to it, like most people, mm-hmm. you know, very young. Cause I told you I started in 1987 with all of this stuff.
And you were 3 years old, I know.
No, I was 19. I actually started 17, but 18 mm-hmm. and 19, I really started working with the channeling with others, you know, mm-hmm. others channeling, you know, and did my own by 26. But yeah, so I was very drawn to the idea of twin flames. You know, cried for my twin flame. Like, if I only had my twin flame, life would be good. Because we all feel that. And so when I started working with the angels, of course, the first thing you're like, you know, because I wasn't always channeling them directly. That was only started about 7 years ago. it was channeling different ways, you know, like channeling, you know, I just call them guides, you know, but then they said, no, you know, hey, we're angels, we're working with you. And so, and all of us when they said that. But so anyway, they started working with us, and I said, okay, well, explain twin flames to me, because I felt like, and I still do, and my husband is twin flame. And but, you know, Brooke and I, as we call it ourselves, twin sisters, adopted twin spiritual sisters, because we decided, you know, we had that kind of twin energy.
Right.
And so I didn't understand how I could have it with two different people in two totally different ways. So they explained it. At first I thought, well, okay, well, you know, my husband must be my twin flame and Brooke is somebody, you know, like a soulmate. But they said, no, you have multiple experiences of twin flames available to you. And the way that they work is that a twin flame, and you used a great quote, the yin and yang, is representing either the yin or the yang in yourself, in a relation, or in the relationship. But really what it's doing is it's bringing the you to an awareness of where you would balance yourself out. So remember how we said that once love is seen as something that is already ours, we don't think we have to give it and take it. So you don't get your balance from somebody else by being in a relationship and then they're going to balance you. They show you the same way that you're doing something. Because a twin flame, like with Brooke, it's in the spiritual work. You know, I represent the feeling, the love. She represents the knowing, the thought, you know. And she's brilliant at the knowing. And you know, when I bring the feeling in, there's a whole different experience. But if I would have tried to say, no, I have as much knowing because my feeling's really strong, I wouldn't have gained from her. I told her, I said, I can tell when I know more than somebody and when I don't know more than somebody. And because when you know more than somebody, when they're saying something, you're like, okay, but there's something more, right? When you don't, in a certain area, and we all have our areas, but when you don't, when they say something, when you know they're talking, you're like, hey, I didn't even think of that. I didn't even so, and that's how I was with her. I was like, wow, there's something about the way you know things. So in respecting that and not feeling threatened by it and not trying to have that skill to the degree she does, but to say, but I'm going to use that to get the knowing in me. So that's how I did it. And then she uses the feeling part
to get the feeling in her.
So
it is that reciprocity in a way.
It's a reciprocity if you choose to allow the non-judgment of the other's talent, or not, like, you know, you might look at it as something that you're like, oh my gosh, this person is so all about me, and I'm going to do it this way, and I'm always about giving and helping. Well, if you look at them and judge them, you won't be receiving, you won't be appreciating.
Right, you've already put up a
what
barrier.
What you want to appreciate.
Right.
Because anybody who, like, for instance, is always feeling giving, you know they're going to be very frustrated with not taking care of themselves. Anyone who's always taking care of themselves, you know they're sometimes going to feel like, I don't really feel connected to anybody. So that's when the non-judgment of the other person, the owning it within yourself and not trying to get it where they're providing it for you, is where it starts to shift.
Right. That makes a lot of sense, because I think, you know, with most people's knowledge of soulmates or twin flames for that matter, is that they're going to feel complete. And what you're really saying is that we are complete within ourselves. And so to acknowledge that completeness and not be looking for that outside of who we are, and then sharing. It's more of a, you know, the other person brings maybe a skill or maybe a talent that you don't have. So, you know, I've told people, you know, go learn a new thing together so you can have adventures together. If you don't fish and he fishes, go learn how to fish.
Yeah.
So that you can have some fun with that. Or if one's into photography and the other's into reading, share books and share cameras. You know, go learn something that just broadens your horizons, but it doesn't necessarily complete you.
Yes, and what will happen is when you go to fish, when you go to build a house, when you go to do anything, when it's the twin flame energy, it, especially, this is how that works, it's going to be that you're going to approach it from opposite ways, right? And It doesn't have to be everything you do, but yeah, pretty much.
But then you can learn a little bit of, instead of having just salt on your food, it could be salt and pepper.
Yes. Well, and when you approach it in step opposite ways, yeah. Again, it's because one person's a right-handed person, another person's a left-handed mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. And you really, you know, we're talking about learning how to use our left hand, mm-hmm. but you want to have both, right?
Ideally.
Yeah. Ambidextrous is a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. And so when they're approaching it different, you're not going to become like them, mm-hmm. and they're not going to become like you. Mm-hmm. But when you appreciate that difference,
right.
as, wow, you approached it this way, I approached it this way, and you can laugh with it, you can have fun with it, you get to be that, but you also get to, remember, appreciate what you appreciate.
Right.
When you appreciate that difference, you grow it inside of yourself.
Right.
From when they're very young, I used to tell my daughters, if you see a beautiful woman, appreciate her beauty. Anybody who cuts down another person because they feel threatened by it, mm-hmm. they don't get the benefit of the beauty, not the benefit of enjoying it, and not the benefit of owning it inside of themselves,
right.
and not the benefit of the great style tips.
Right, like right.
So there's a lot you can gain from appreciating that which may be challenging to you because you don't have it as strongly in yourself. Mm-hmm. And appreciating it because you're like, God, I want to have that more strongly in myself. Mm-hmm. And then you gain that. And so that's how you complete yourself. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that you're never not complete. It's your thoughts of yourself, right? Because mm-hmm. the infinite, the love, is always here for us. We're always in it. It's always in us. We can't not be it.
I'm sort of thinking back. This would be a very interesting twist on psychiatry, but you're familiar with the DSM code book. So every time you have a person that comes to see you for psychiatric reasons, you have to do a diagnosis for insurance to pay. Mm-hmm. And so it defines who that person is, unfortunately. And then you begin to treat them as their diagnosis, not only with medication, but the way you interact with them. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm listening to this, I'm just thinking to myself, instead of seeing the beauty of maybe somebody who is narcissistic and is definitely into taking care of themselves, mm-hmm. we only see them as self-centered.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, if we looked at that self-centeredness and said, I need more of that in my life, to learn how to take care of me. And, you know, maybe I don't want to be quite as far over as that person is, where that's all they think of.
Right.
But also recognizing there is beauty in learning that skill, mm-hmm. you know, and not waiting for somebody else to take care of you.
Right. And in any relationship, you're only mm-hmm. going to really want to stay with somebody that you enjoy being with. So if you're mm-hmm. not enjoying being with them, even if you're learning about yourself, well, there's just really no use in it, because there's 1,000,000,000,000 people out there that you right. can enjoy being with.
Right.
And that, once we don't feel like we're going to lose something, it mm-hmm. changes that. But we have, interestingly enough, had people, like I said, who are in counseling and psychology and working with people that have felt like you did. And they said, I'm going to go even one step further and just remove the thought that they have to be this mm-hmm, category. Mm-hmm. I may have to do it for insurance purposes mm-hmm, at this moment, mm-hmm. but to see them as more than what they've been experiencing themselves mm-hmm. opens. And people, they've done studies in, like I was saying this to somebody, and they were talking about it in jail systems. I said, if we in jail, you know, allowed people to stop thinking of themselves as the criminal, mm-hmm. but as somebody who made a choice that didn't mentally work well for them,
right?
Physically or mentally. Right. So what are we thinking about ourselves? And like in New Zealand, they do that. They work with their belief in themselves again. Mm-hmm. So love is, that's why I love love, because love does resolve everything. It says we're all infinite potential. We all have innate worth, infinite potential, eternal perfection. Wherever we're at that moment is where we get to be without judgment. And mm-hmm. in being that, we will keep growing and learning, but we have to be able, and that doesn't mean you wouldn't stop. You stop a baby when they're coming to grab your hair. Mm-hmm. So you stop somebody if their learning process is getting into somebody else's space.
Right.
But
right.
you don't have to judge them. You don't judge the baby.
Right. That's true. So I know there are going to be some listeners that are going to say, well, how do you recognize a soulmate or a twin flame?
Yes. Okay. So, as a description kind of between a soulmate, twin flame is more of, just from what I've heard, you know, I always am open for things, you know, growing and expanding.
Well, you married one.
And I married one, and it definitely have benefited so much from what they taught me on how to work with him and grown so much. Like every time I stop putting it on, I have to get him to change something and just go, what is he reflecting that I get to have a different experience of? Not that I have to change for him, I'm doing it for me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what am I losing, what is he showing me that I'm not giving myself, mm-hmm. and then I change that, we have a different experience, and mm-hmm. he's wonderful. But so a twin flame allows you to see kind of the opposite, whereas a soulmate is somebody that you connect with because you're just really kind of into something, doing something. You know how you'll have the one person, you're like, oh my gosh, we're totally the opposite in how we deal with something. And then you have the other person, you're like, oh, we kind of just hang out. We you know, more similar, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's kind of like people think of the twin flame as the lightning path, mm-hmm. because you really have to deal with the part of yourself that you hadn't developed as much.
Right.
And that's why there can be a lot of different twin flames, because there's a lot of different areas
that
right.
might not be developed.
Yeah, for Brooke and I, it was the knowing and
the feeling.
Yeah, and right. for my husband and I, it was more of, he was very good at, and he's beautiful at, you know, being true to himself. I was very good at being, you know, true and good to others. And so we've learned, oh my gosh, we've grown so much. And every time I do it, where I'm stronger in myself, he instantly feels more comfortable with me, because we resonate as more wholeness, and he becomes more comfortable opening.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. So
very, very interesting.
It's fun.
I guess maybe we'll close the show with this question then. Is there one thing that a person can actually do for themselves? Like if somebody's out there listening and they just want, I don't know, to be more loving or to have more love in their life or something along those lines. Is there one thing that the angels would say, yes, you can do this?
Yes. And it was the thing that you said so brilliantly, Nobel Peace Prize. Anytime anyone's ever had a change, I love watching the movies where they all of a sudden have these huge dramatic changes. It's inside of themselves, they say, I don't have to be defined by what I've been thinking of the outside world and how I've been seeing the reflection. Mm-hmm. I get to have infinite potential, innate worth, infinite potential, eternal perfection. I get to love myself where I'm at. I get to, and love is that, I get to know that there's so much more to me,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
to how I've experienced, and open your vision from, you know, the little tiny circle to a bigger circle,
mm-hmm.
of how you're seeing everything. And our circles are always opening. So
there was a picture, you might not have caught it, but somebody was kind of cycling it around on Facebook. And it was when the sun was going down,
mm-hmm.
and they took their fingers and formed a circle and then held it to where the sun looked like it was coming right through their circle, and yet you were seeing the hole behind them.
Oh,
and it was
wow.
it was stunning, because there were like little rays of the sun,
yes,
that were being shown all the way around that circle. And you know, I think that kind of works for the infinite potential concept, is that we only see this little bit,
yes,
and yet the whole world is
yes.
back there behind it.
And then all you do is expand that circle, and
mm-hmm.
you see more of that.
And you
bit.
Do. You
and
do.
That's and we are children of God as God, however
mm-hmm.
you want to think of it, children of angels,
mm-hmm.
you know, creative beings
mm-hmm.
through thought that have of an infinite potential that's always here. And so, you know, we're always going to expand that circle, where sometimes we may be crawling, sometimes we're learning to stand, sometimes we're learning to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Each time we're a beautiful child,
mm-hmm.
right? And where we all are right now, we're all beautiful children.
Right.
And we're just becoming aware of ourselves. We're just getting through the separation anxiety. So be really kind to yourself. Yeah.
Mom is out of the bedroom. Dad's out of the bedroom. I'm in here by myself.
Yes, because we're learning that we're an individual experience of our creativity. And that's a little scary, but don't worry, because we are still embraced in all of that love. Mm-hmm. 100%. And interesting that you used the sun, because mm-hmm. the sun, S-U-N-S-O-N, mm-hmm. is 19 in the tarot. And it's very significant, and I always use that as the recognition that we're the son, the daughter, you know, of God as God, mm-hmm. however you want to say it, but mm-hmm. we're of a creative being. Mm-hmm. And that fire is the passion to experience our individuality. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. We're not here to find love. We are love.
You know what I find very, very interesting in this final minute, too? We've never talked about chakras. But the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, that is the color red. Yes. And it's for energy. Yes. And the energy to fuel action, which is the next chakra up, the sacral. And that then fuels the solar plexus, which is you. Mm-hmm. So those first three chakras are all about taking the energy to make action happen in your life.
Yes.
And then in turn, to make your life whatever you choose for it to be.
Yes. And the solar plexus is the yellow, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And
for the
sacral,
sun.
Yeah. And the sacral center, the one right above the red, is the orange.
Orange, right.
Yeah. And it's the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is like whatever we engage in, mm-hmm. right,
mm-hmm.
starts to come alive.
Right.
And it's this movement. It's really fun. There's so much, so much we could talk about.
Yeah, well, we'll do that on the next show, I'm sure, because it'd be fun to talk about how energetically you do connect to the divine.
Yes.
You know, you do it right up through the chakras and open the crown and away you go.
Well, spoiler alert, they say we are the divine.
Yeah. Well, no, I believe that. I believe that that is the concept here, is to understand that we are divine and that we have those powers that come along with divinity.
Yes.
But that's another time. That's another show. All right. Thank you very much, Tess, for joining me again today. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Much love and life for
yes.
you.
Yes.
We'll see everyone back here next week at the Synergy Connection Show. Go out there and make it your very best life.
Happy
Thank you,
Valentine's
everyone.
Day.